Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Aloha and welcome to Free Inside with Brother Bulla Eastman, an outreach of the prison ministry of First Assembly of God Honolulu. Now, let's join Brother Bulla for tonight's message of truth.
Aloha, everyone. Brother Bulla here once again, sharing the good news with you tonight. Free Inside Ministry, the prison ministry of First Assembly of God, has a passion for the Lord with a vision to reach the incarcerated, the broken, and the lost, and to preach the gospel to every person. We share the Word of God and words of encouragement each week to the incarcerated in Halawa, Waiava, OCCC, FDC, and soon in the Women's Correctional Facility in Hawaii. We also minister to our brothers in Saguaro, Arizona, and we'll be heading there shortly. Mahalo to all of you who have tuned in this evening. Hallelujah, my beloved. Another breath, another day, another opportunity to thank God for all that we have. And we all have something to be thankful for. Do you have a bed to sleep in? Do you have some clothes on your back? Do you have a roof over your head? Have you had a meal or two today? Well, that's probably something your parents used to tell you when we were all younger. But no. I'm trying to remind you that we all have something to be thankful for. I wanted to let you know tonight that you already know you have a Savior. Imagine that. In Luke 2:11, in Luke chapter 2, verse 11, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Hallelujah. Jesus came to this earth to excuse us from our sins, not just the sin we are in, but to save us from sin in its totality. As a whole, Jesus did not come to rub it in. He came to rub it out. You see, he is not mad at you. He is mad about you. He came to save us from three things. He came to save us from sin, self, and hell. If Jesus did not come to earth and die on the cross, we would all be on our way straight to hell, period. But he saved us for a purpose. He has a plan for each and every one of us. He saved you from something, for something, and by something. He saved you from sin. That is the something. He saved you for something. And that is the plans he has for you, as it is written in Jeremiah 29:11. And he saved us by something. And that is the blood on the cross. His blood. My beloved, all my brothers and sisters sitting out there behind those walls, maybe you're sitting in your cell right now. It's getting close to lights out. Or maybe you're just at the edge of your bed. Or maybe you're just sitting and trying to look outside to see the stars. Or maybe you're sitting at a kitchen table in Waimanalo, Kalihi, maybe Hawaii Kai. Listen to me. No one is good all of the time. Period. No one. So, Brother Bulla, if you say all of that, why did Jesus come? How does it all make sense? Well, it's like this. If our greatest need was information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need was technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need was money, God would have sent an economist. If our greatest need was health, then God would have sent a doctor. My brothers and my sisters, our greatest need is forgiveness. So he sent a Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not only is he our Savior, he is our healer, he is our teacher, he is our counselor, he is our banner, he is our one and only source of all of our needs. He is Yahweh, the great I Am, who was and is to come. Glory. You know, tonight's message is called The Other Side. And you know, you think of that a lot of times. What is it like on the other side? You know, I remember growing up small kid time, we'd go up to Wahiwa and go fishing at Lake Wilson. They would say you could catch two canary bass, but many of us would catch tilapias like I did. But when you're young, you know, your perception of everything has such a largeness about it. It has such a grand presentation. You know, I remember growing up in the streets of Aliomanu by Salt Lake and playing street football on Likini Street. Man, you thought that was like playing in the NFL back then. You thought it was like the Pro Bowl. You thought it was like the Super Bowl. And you played for blood amongst all of your neighborhood friends, your close friends, your child childhood friends. Till this day, I can still remember the pass that my best friend dropped for the winning touchdown on Christmas Day in 1974 by the telephone pole behind the Datsun pickup truck with the broken rear bumper and the cracked glass windshield. Unreal, man. How the mind can perceive and remember things in a certain way. Unreal. Now, when I drive back to the old neighborhood, the streets are too narrow. The houses are too close together. It's crowded. And why in the world do those kids play in the street? Someone can get hurt. Don't they know that? Where's their parents? How perception changes over time as we grow older. You see, fishing in Lake Wilson, we always caught tilapias, and they were okay, but I would get bored so quickly. A lot of times, I would just sit there looking across the lake and wondering how to get to the other side. We didn't have a boat. We were casting from the shore, but the other side, it looked so inviting. It looked so different. It looked so enchanting. And that desire to get to the other side was a constant stirring in my soul. It was getting me kind of upset. You know, there's a story in the Bible that talks about the same thing. It has a boat, it has Jesus, it has the disciples, and it has a storm. Let's take a look at tonight's message called The Other Side. That time after the sun go down, Jesus went tell his guys, "Hey, we go to the other side of the lake." They went leave all the people, and Jesus' guys take them inside the boat. Had other boats over there too. Then one big storm over there, and the waves are busting all over the boat. So the boat almost went go hoolie. But Jesus, he still yet stays sleeping in the back on top of one pillow. His guys went go wake him up and tell him, "Hey, teacher, hey, you no care or what? We're going to mock you or what?" Jesus got up, and he went scold the wind, and he scold the waves. He said, "Quiet, no move around." Then the wind went pow, and the waves went come nice. And he tell these guys, "How come you guys scared? You guys don't trust me or what?" They were so scared, they went tell each other, "Hey, what kind of guy it is? Even the wind and the waves do what he tell them." You know, in the NIT version, it starts out like this. "That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.'" This one statement shows the gentleness of Jesus' spirit. He didn't command them. He didn't order them. He just simply asked them, when he had every right and all the authority to command them. He was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He could have ordered them to do what he wished. But no, that's not our Jesus. That's not our Lord and Savior. See, he suggested, kind of like local style, when he says, "Hey, we go to the other side, the lake." More like a question to them. This is just like life. It's like the life that every Christian has for the most part. We obey what the Lord tells us. We get in the boat and we head for the other side. We head to the destination that we think we should be going to. We get in that boat and we do what we're supposed to do. You know, we follow all the rules, and sometimes we don't follow the rules and we get stuck doing that. But we do most of the time what we're supposed to do. Now, what happens, though, is when we do that, the next course of events that happens in the boat is pretty interesting. You see, there's a storm in the middle of the lake. It begins to get rough. The seas are coming over the sides of the boat. As it says, the bugger almost went go hoolie. And nothing. Where's Jesus? Where is Jesus in the middle of the storm, in the middle of your trials and tribulations, in the middle of when your world is going upside down and you're heading to be incarcerated? Where is your Jesus? Where did he go? In the middle of the trial, in the middle of the sentencing, now you're in, sitting at the edge of your bed tonight saying, "Where is my God? My God, my God." Now, in this situation, Jesus is resting. Jesus is sleeping in the bottom of the boat on a pillow. How's that? Just like my sister Wonder Woman in the morning on 95.5 says, "Ready for cracks for medevac being like that. The boat ready for get all boss up, and Jesus stay counting sheep in the bottom of the boat." Even though they know that Jesus is right there, that the Messiah is in their boat, What happens? They get scared. They get frightened. They fear of what might happen. But you know what's wrong with that? Jesus is in the boat. It's like the movie. The good guys don't die if they're still in the movie. If they're still in the car's not going to crash. Jesus is in the bottom of the boat, the Messiah, the creator of all living things. But you see, they don't like the situation they're in. They're not accustomed to the situation they're in. They're not used to what's going on. You see, it's a storm. There's wind and there's waves and it's breaking over the edges of the boat. It's like when your attorney doesn't call you back after 3 weeks. It's like when you're upset and you're arguing with your loved ones. Maybe it's your wife. Maybe it's your children. Maybe your relatives don't even contact you. Maybe you have not had contact with any of your ohana in a long time. You see, you get upset at that storm. And you see, we begin to go into the fear mode. We're not living by faith anymore. We've crossed over. We've gone from faith to fear. Either way, we're believing in what is to happen and not what has happened. See, that's fear and that's faith. I choose to live by faith and not by fear. But you see, they're afraid for their lives at that point. They think that they're going to die. They think that Jesus is going to die with them. Even though he's in the boat, they forget for a moment, as we forget sometimes, we forget the power of our Lord Jesus. We forget the strength and the magnitude of what he has, that he has dominion, that he has control over the seen and the unseen, over what he created, because he is the creator. We forget that in our times of weakness. So what they do naturally is what anybody would do naturally, who is in a situation where they fear for their life, they cry for help. Sometimes that storm is so great. Is your boat ready to turn upside down? Is your boat ready to go and huli, like it says in our story here? It's like when you're all by yourself. It's when you're by yourself and the storm is closing in around you. You don't know what to do. In this situation, what they were able to do is they looked into the boat. They remembered who was in their boat. Sometimes we go through a lot of struggles and we forget Jesus is in all of us. We try and do everything on our own accord, on our own power, and we find that gets us nowhere. See, a lot of times we fail at doing what we're doing because we're doing it on our own intuition, on our own direction. We didn't pray about it. We didn't talk to Jesus about it. We didn't ponder it. A lot of times we just reacted to it. So a lot of times what happens is We end up in a situation that we shouldn't even be in the first place. But it's when you get in so deep, you don't know where else to turn. It's at that point when the walls have crashed in, when the storm is taking over all existence, when you have nowhere to go, when you can't even see the light of day, what do we do at that point, my brothers and my sisters? That's when we decide to call for help. For some of us, it might be too late. The time has already passed, but for some of us, we might be in a better situation. For those of you just tuning in, we want to thank you once again. This is Free Inside Ministry, and we're on Monday to Friday from 9:30 p.m. to 10 p.m. We are the prison ministry for First Assembly of God Red Hill, and you can visit us at www.freeinsideministry.org, or we do have a Facebook page if you have Facebook, Free Inside Ministry. And you can also email us, if you'd like, freeinsideministry@gmail.com. We're talking tonight about the message. And the message tonight, my beloved, is the other side. We're at the situation now where we're looking, where the boat has been in the middle of the lake. The storm is quite severe. The waves are busting up all over the boat, the thing ready for huli. Disciples getting all antsy. But Jesus is in the bottom of the boat. But Jesus is sound asleep. And in the Bible, it says on a pillow. So if you can think of your Lord and Savior on a pillow, that means he's pretty comfortable at this point. He's pretty relaxed. I mean, sometimes, you know, it is after a long 12-hour, 14-hour day at work, you get home, you can sleep right on the floor, no need pillow, no need nothing, you just crash. But picture this, Jesus in the bottom of the boat with a pillow. To me, the pillow is just, I don't know, it just adds to that. It's just like very, very comfy, very, very peaceful. Meanwhile, the storm is raging around, but Jesus is at peace. Imagine that. So this is what they do. They get to the point where they fear for their lives. They're afraid. They know how to reach him. They went to the bottom of the boat. Some of us, all we have to do instead of giving up is we should be looking up for Jesus. So they awaken him. They get him up. Jesus, wake up. He gets up from his sleep. And it must have been a very deep sleep, a very deep slumber, since the waves that were tossing the boat around, the wind that was tossing the boat around, that didn't wake him. The tossing fro back and forth of the boat, probably bouncing from side to side, that didn't awaken him. But the cries of his disciples awaken him. My brothers and my sisters, the point here is he hears your cry. He hears your prayer. He might not hear the storm that's going on in your life. He might not see the battles that's raging around you. He might not have his attention, but he hears your cry when you call for him. Just as he heard the cry of the disciples who were in fear of their life. They called out to Jesus and he awakened from a deep sleep. Sometimes all we need to do is say the word Jesus and he'll answer. He'll come. All we need to do is open our mouths and say the word Jesus and he'll give us a word. All we need to do is open our mouths and say Jesus and we can bend his ear. You see, the key point there is to open our mouth and to converse. But you see, what does Jesus do? He gets up and commands the wind and the waves to stop, and they do. That is the God we serve. That is the God we worship. That is the God who is our Lord and Savior. Just like the disciples, we get scared when things don't go our way. We get scared when we're backed up against the wall. We get scared when the odds are stacked up. We get scared when it appears that we have no hope. But in Jeremiah 29:11, my beloved, "For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans for a hope and a future." Once again, in the Bible, one of the promises that we have is the promise from God that he has plans for us. My beloved, don't be scared. Let's be prepared, as our sister Dawn tells us. No, get scared. Be prepared. You see, they weren't prepared. The disciples, they were not prepared, so they were very scared. They didn't understand. They didn't know what to expect. They didn't know what was going to be taking place. That's just like Jesus looking at us and asking us the very same question when we go to him with our situation, when we go with him to him about the problem that's facing us, when we go to him where life's challenges and struggles are overwhelming us. It's when we go to him that he looks at us and he says, "How come you guys scared? You guys don't trust me or what?" That's so classic. "You don't trust me or what?" Maybe you have some storms in your life right now. Maybe you have a situation that is overwhelming. Maybe things are really dark and you don't have any answers anymore. Let me ask you this, my beloved. Is Jesus even in your boat? Is he even in your boat, my beloved? Is he even part of your life? How can you cry out to Jesus to save you if he's not even in your boat? Do you know in your heart right now, without a sliver of a doubt, that if anything happened right now, that you would be in heaven? Do you know that to the very core of your being, to the very essence of your soul? Are you for sure in your heart that you will be in heaven? Do you know that? Are you sure? With Jesus in your boat, your past has been pardoned, your present is powerful, and your future is promising. But he has to be in your boat. Not, "Oh, maybe so, I think so, I'm not really sure." No, I'm telling you right now, my brothers and my sisters, and I'm being very clear on this so we have clarity. Is Jesus in your boat? Have you claimed him as your Lord and Savior? Or have you known him before, but maybe you turned your back on him? No matter what the reason, no matter what the story, no matter what the situation, if you want Jesus in your boat, if you want to change your life for the better, not the worse, if you want to have a hope and a future that God has for you, you can repeat this prayer that I'm going to close with in a few minutes. But you see, my beloved, the challenge is a lot of times we get into situations that are beyond our control. And that might be where you're at right now. The challenge is that we don't understand that we have to go through all of our resources to determine who our source is. You see, we get to a point where we have to be rid of ourselves. We have to be a point where we're in total submission to our Lord and Savior. You see, we have one of two choices when it comes to dealing with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. One, you can allow God to break you and you will submit to him to build his kingdom and to live for him, and he will bless you in abundance. That's by your permission, your submission, for your commission. You would allow God to break you, to remove all the opala out of your heart, to remove all of the opala out of your life so that you could live for him. That's your one choice. The other choice is you could always resist. You could always fight back. You could always be relentless, but he's going to break you. Either way, it's not a matter of if. It is only a matter of when. So if you refuse to serve the Lord, if you refuse to listen to the Lord, well, what's some of the trade-offs? Well, you're going to struggle. You're going to have a hard time. You're not going to be able to receive the blessings that Jesus has waiting for you because of your stubbornness. You won't be able to receive the blessings Jesus has for you because you're being hard-headed. You won't receive the blessings because you just don't want to come into submission. Well, you know, the Lord created us for a greater purpose. The Lord did not redeem you to be a criminal. The Lord did not redeem you to be a thief. The Lord redeemed you for a purpose. The Lord redeemed you because you are an ambassador of Christ. You are a citizen of the kingdom. You are a son and daughter of the Most High. That's what you are. Don't let your past punish your future. Who's in your boat? Is Jesus in your boat? I'm going to close in a prayer in just a minute, and I want you to think about this. I'm going to give you the opportunity to put Jesus in your boat. If anything were to happen to you, wherever you are, be it Halava, be it Wyava, OCCC, Windward Community Center, OCCC, FDC, Saguaro, Red Rock, or if you're not even incarcerated, but you know in your heart that you're locked up by many things, I want to make this opportunity available to you where you know without a doubt, if anything were to happen catastrophic, that you would be in heaven because Jesus is in your boat. I'm going to have a prayer. You can repeat it after me and only say it if you mean it because the Lord knows your heart. But don't say it to please anybody else. Please say it so that you know in your very core of your soul that Jesus is in your boat and that you'll be in heaven. Dear God, forgive me, Lord. I am a sinner. I have sinned against you, against others, and against myself. You sent your Son to die on the cross for my sins, for my family's sins, for my children's sins, for the sins of the world. But he rose on the third day, and we celebrate the resurrection, not the crucifixion. I need to change. I need it now. I give you my life. Use me to glorify you, Lord. Now I say this so that I can hear this, so that you can hear this, so that my neighbor can hear this, and so the devil can hear this. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I am a new creation through Christ Jesus. I will dwell in the house of the Lord for the rest of the days of my life. Amen. Once again, if you said that prayer and you said it with all sincerity from the very core of your being, I want to let you know Jesus is in your boat. I want to thank you for tuning in tonight. I pray that the word touched you. I pray that the Lord was able to speak directly to you. I pray that you have a relationship with him as your Lord and Savior. Remember, for I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans for a hope and a future. As it is written in Jeremiah 29:11. The struggle you're in today is giving you the strength you need for tomorrow. Don't give up, my brothers and my sisters. Don't give up. I'll repeat that again so it can sink in. The struggle you're in today is giving you the strength you need for tomorrow. Don't give up. You've got Jesus in your boat now. You've got Jesus in your boat. When the storms are raging, what did the disciples do? They cried out the name of Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He calmed the storm immediately. Not tomorrow, not 3 days from now, not next week. He calmed the storm immediately. He told both the wind and the waves to calm. And they obeyed Jesus. This is the Lord and Savior that you have in your boat now. Tune in tomorrow night for another uplifting message with me, Brother Bula. Going to close in a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord God, keep us in your loving embrace. For those in need of a healing touch, may you heal them from their head to their toe. We thank you for this time tonight, Father. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for your provision for our needs and not our wants. Please protect our Ohana, our friends, our ACOs, and all the staff working tonight. But most of all, Lord, mahalo for your grace upon our lives. Lord, let us wake with an attitude of gratitude tomorrow morning after a night of sleep. In your heavenly name, everyone says, amen. Good night, my brothers and sisters. See you tomorrow night.
You've been listening to Free Inside with Brother Bula Eastman. We hope tonight's message has blessed and encouraged you. If so, we'd love to hear from you. Email Brother Bula at freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. That's freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. This program was sponsored by Honolulu Ford and by First Assembly of God Honolulu. Remember, if the sun sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Free inside. Until tomorrow night at this same time, may God be with you.